Hi, it's Dave. It's been rumored that Apple's been working on a car for the past 5 years. In this video, I'm going to take a deeper look at what happens when Apple and Tesla go head to head in the car industry. In my last video, I got this comment from a viewer. 26humor26 says, "Can you imagine if Apple came out with its own car? Apple would destroy Tesla." Now this is a fun debate. Will Apple destroy Tesla or will Tesla destroy Apple in the auto industry? I think the first question to look at is Apple serious about making cars? In late 2014, Tim Cook approved Project Titan, and it was a massive effort for Apple to develop their own car and also their own autonomous driving software. In mid-2016, Apple already had about 1,000 engineers working on this project to make the electric car and autonomous driving software. They put Bob Mansfield in charge of Project Titan. Bob Mansfield is kind of a legendary Apple executive. He was in charge of iPhone's hardware during many years of iPhone's growth. So Apple has shown that they're putting a priority on this. They have one of their best executives, and they have over 1,000 engineers working on this since 2016. Also in 2016, it was rumored that Magnet International had a small team working out of Apple's Sunnyvale lab. Now, Magnet International is one of the biggest contract manufacturers for automakers. They make hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cars for the big OEMs like BMW and others. And then in mid-2018, Apple hired Doug Field from Tesla. Doug Field was in charge of the entire Model 3 program at Tesla. In fact, he was one of the key executives in Tesla's executive team. He left Tesla in mid-2018, and shortly after, he was picked up by Apple, which was his original employee before he joined Tesla. And with Doug Field, Apple now has kind of like the bigger picture. They have someone who has overseen the entire Model 3 program, and now that person is at Apple. Also, in early and mid-2019, Apple hired two engineering VPs from Tesla. Over the years, Apple has hired dozens, if not hundreds, of engineers from Tesla to work on this Project Titan electric car project. In 2019, also, they acquired Drive.ai, and it was a startup that was focusing on autonomous driving. So yes, Apple has poured in hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of research into trying to make an electric car and an autonomous driving car. The next question would be, why would Apple want to make a car? Well, first, it was actually Steve Jobs' dream to eventually make a car, an Apple-branded car. He just thought the existing car industry was a total mess and needed a complete transformation. These companies understand technology, they understand software, and they understand artificial intelligence. And it's obvious to them that cars are going to be transitioning to autonomous driving vehicles. And this transition from a car being something that a person drives to rather the car driving the person, this is probably going to be the biggest transformation in the history of transportation in the past 100 years at least. And the big issue is whoever controls the car and the experience in the car is going to be able to direct and control the attention of the people who are riding in the car. And this attention of the people riding in the car, whether it's listening to music or watching videos or reading something or talking or doing something in the car, all of that is attention. And all of that can be possibly monetized or be business opportunities. And oftentimes these tech companies will go to great lengths just to make sure they're not blocked off of new technologies or new operating platforms. A good example is Google was so scared Apple was going to monopolize the smartphone industry. Google spent billions and billions of dollars to create the Android free operating system and open sources so other manufacturers could have a chance. And that was a smart move by Google because they knew that with the attention going to the smartphone that they needed to be part of the operating system. And it's another reason why Google gives billions and billions of dollars to Apple so that it could be the default search engine for iOS. Next, what are the advantages that Apple has in making a car? Apple brings unique advantages to any product or effort that they embark on. The first is they have a ton of cash. I mean, they have tens and tens of billions of dollars that they could just kind of throw around and research and try new things without it impacting really their bottom line. Second of all, Apple has a real long-term vision. They're not just trying to make a product for a 1 year or a 2 year cycle, but they're really looking at it more in terms of decades. They want the next product to last a decade or two or three decades. Apple also has great execution. They're one of the best at actually releasing things on time and pushing the envelope and iteratively improving their products. And perhaps one of the greatest advantages that Apple has in the car industry is they've got the phone. They've got the device that most people are using most of their internet access on. So If they're making a car, they can somehow seamlessly connect the phone and the car experience together to make it more integrated. And the dream, so-called, of an Apple car is if your car is an Apple car and your phone is an Apple phone and you got this full Apple ecosystem of all your movies and podcasts and even apps and news and information all on this ecosystem, it all just plays well together. And the final advantage that Apple has in the auto industry, I think, is brand and recognition. While they don't have a brand and reputation per se in the auto industry and with the car, they have an overarching brand and loyalty from their users. And they can leverage that trust to try to build up a reputation with the car. Now, what are the disadvantages with Apple in making a car? I think there are several key disadvantages here. First, Apple doesn't really have deep experience with complex manufacturing. Sure, their iPhone and computers and other products do entail a lot of manufacturing, and Apple is super efficient and great with planning the supply chain. However, a car is on a completely different level. We're talking about thousands and thousands of parts and suppliers, and this is a complex operation that dwarfs the manufacturing process of a phone or a computer. Another disadvantage is the disadvantage of spectacular failure. You see, with Apple, they've got a reputation where they don't really fail too often on a big scale. If they go into the car industry and they fail big in the car industry, let's say they have a big, you know, show with the Apple car reveal and it just doesn't take off, they can't get the right price, the right features, and it just doesn't compete with Tesla. In that sense, they risk spectacular failure. Basically, they associate kind of like this spectacular failure of their Apple car with their brand, and it's something that could kind of shake the confidence of Apple investors. Another disadvantage that Apple has in making cars is that cars in itself is a very low margin business. Apple has kind of made their whole business model where they're able to add value by combining hardware and software and the entire experience. And by doing that, they're able to charge extremely high margins on their product. However, the auto industry is a low margin, cutthroat industry, and the profit margins are so slim. You get an awesome, amazing car for $20,000 that lasts like 10 or 15 or even 20 years. For Apple to be able to achieve high margins, they can't just be a manufacturer. Rather, they have to add value. And the value that they want to add is the autonomous driving. But the problem with autonomous driving is Apple doesn't really have the best AI or artificial intelligence engineers in the world. It's something they're building up, but they're just not there yet. So the big question is, if Apple and Tesla go head to head in the auto industry, who wins? Well, I think actually Tesla has some key advantages here that are super important to understand. First, for Tesla, the auto business is life and death. In other words, Tesla is laser focused on their mission to speed up the transition to sustainable transport. And they know exactly how they're going to do it. They're going to make the best, most compelling, and far superior car than compared to any other car out there. And they're going to push the envelopes of adoption. And their goal is to decimate the ICE vehicle. This is a company that's on a mission, and it's got tens of thousands of employees all focused on the same thing. Compare this with Apple. For Apple, the auto industry is kind of optional. It's not life and death for their company like the smartphone industry is. And because of that, the intensity is not the same as it would be at Tesla. Further, I think Tesla is able to attract far talented and more capable engineers and leaders to their company. Because if you're serious about seeing the world transition to sustainable transport, which company do you go to? Do you go to an Apple or do you go to Tesla? The second big advantage that Tesla has is that Tesla has already crossed into the mainstream with their cars. As I shared in my last video, crossing the chasm, it's an extremely difficult thing for a new technology to cross over from being an early adopter niche product into becoming a mainstream product that is accepted by the majority of people out there. And when a product or technology goes mainstream, it's a tremendous advantage for the company that's pioneering because they're able to now take advantage of economies of scale. They're able to drive down costs. They're able to tackle adjacent markets, and they're able to build their brand and loyalty and reputation. And so for later market entrants who are trying to cross over into the mainstream, it's no longer just trying to cross into the mainstream with no competitors. Rather, it's trying to cross into the mainstream, but you've got this ultra fast-moving, hyper-competitive company called Tesla who has already taken over the mainstream. For Apple to compete with Tesla, Apple really needs a unique and compelling angle. If Apple's gonna just release another electric car or another so-called self-driving electric car, the chances are that car is not gonna be as cheap or as good as a Tesla car. And it's simply because Tesla has had years and years of experience, and Tesla has so much more economies of scale and experience with driving down costs, but also with improving performance and efficiency. And to complicate things further, Apple really isn't a proponent of getting into manufacturing themselves. Over the years, they've relied on contract manufacturers like Foxconn to help assemble and make their products and phones. Apple understands that manufacturing is kind of a messy business, and they don't really want to get involved with low-margin manufacturing. So it kind of makes sense if Apple wants to make a car that they'll hire a contract manufacturer to do so. Apple will design the car, and then they'll add all of the software and try to make it an integrated experience. And for Apple, their whole mission and philosophy and value is they want to control the entire experience. And also with Apple, they want to go into an industry or an area where they can add value, where there is some inefficiencies already going on. And while in the auto industry, it's been a complete kind of mess with all of these subpar cars that people don't really, I think, love. And there's a huge technological disruption coming with autonomous driving. However, in 2017 and 2018, the whole history of the auto world changed with the Model 3. And the Model 3 was kind of the opportunity that I think Apple was seeing. It was like presenting an amazing electric car with even autonomous driving technology, or with at least the sensors and the capability to eventually upgrade at a cost of under $50,000. And now Apple is faced with a difficult situation. Tesla has released and is now ramping their Model 3 and now Model Y vehicles. These vehicles are going to be tough for Apple to beat. Yet Apple doesn't want to be kicked out of the car. They want to be part of the car experience. And this is a similar situation that Google is in too. They know the autonomous driving market is going to be a multi-trillion dollar industry, and they don't want to be left out of that. Plus, Apple and Google have tens of billions of dollars of cash laying around. What are they going to spend their money on? And there just aren't that many multi-trillion dollar industries in the world. And it's not just Apple and Google, but Amazon also has a big interest in this. In fact, with logistics and transportation, it's almost life and death for Amazon. Amazon knows that they need to be at the cutting edge of this autonomous driving revolution. So I think there's going to be a big shakeup coming in the next 5, 10, 15 years for the auto industry. Apple, Google, Amazon, and even others are going to start vying for interest, and a lot of interesting things could happen. In fact, I speculate Amazon should buy Rivian. Amazon has already invested in Rivian, and I think Rivian on its own, it's going to be difficult for them to really break through into the mainstream. However, with the backing of Amazon and billions of dollars of cash, I think Rivian might have a chance. I think probably the key takeaway of all of this thinking and analysis is that going forward, the value add in the auto industry is not going to come from the manufacturing side, but rather the value add is going to come from the software and autonomous driving. Autonomous driving is going to be a turning point where it's no longer you driving the car, but rather when the car drives you, you've got dozens of hours a week now that's being opened up where you can enjoy in other activities. And all those activities, in fact, are going to be controlled or directed in a way by whoever controls the hardware and software experience. Right now, Tesla is the only game in town that has the hardware and the software and the entire ecosystem. And I think it's Tesla's game to lose. In the next 10 years, Tesla has an amazing future to ramp up their electric vehicle production into the millions of units. And in the next 20 years, their future is very bright with autonomous driving because they've got the whole package to deliver to the end customer. All right, if you haven't subscribed to my channel, I encourage you to do so. In this channel, we're looking at investment topics through a deeper lens, through objective analysis. We're combining quantitative and qualitative skills, and we're not following the crowd or kind of doing emotional reactionism. Rather, we're looking deeper to try to gain more understanding, and that'll help us to be better forecasters. For the rest of this video, I'm going to answer a few questions. The first question comes from Heidi Wang. It says, Dave, can you comment on a future world where people don't have to own a car? Yeah, so I think a lot of people are speculating that car ownership is dying and eventually people won't own cars. But however, I think this is going to be a slow process. People in general tend to love their cars, and especially in places where they use their cars more often, for example, in suburban areas. And I also think car sharing has its downsides. Like, for example, do I really want my car to be used by hundreds of people? And do I really want to clean up after all these people in the car? I want to know kind of like where my car has been and who's been in the car. There's also an issue of freedom. Like, I want the car to be available right when I need it. I don't want to hail a car or call a car from my phone. I want to be able to stick stuff in my trunk and leave it in my trunk. I want a certain type of car seat for my kids. I just want to leave it there. And because of all these type of issues, for the foreseeable future, I kind of see car ownership and ride hailing or kind of a robo-taxi network as complementary. In other words, I think there's still going to be a lot of people buying cars, and I think there's going to be a lot of people on kind of a robo-taxi network as well. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see more and more companies bet on kind of a robo-taxi type of autonomous driving network by itself. It's kind of what Google is doing with their Waymo division. Also, GM spun off a company called Cruise, and Cruise is doing kind of the same thing where they have a kind of a robo-taxi kind of minivan that they've released or are releasing. And with that, they're focusing just on the ride hailing or the autonomous taxi portion. But I think what's great for Tesla is they got both in hand, meaning they could sell cars and sell them in the million to people who want to buy the cars, but they also can release their cars as robotaxis or enable the owners to release them as robotaxis as well. So in a lot of ways, Tesla has the ultimate optionality. All right, the next question is a video question that comes from Mark Binstad from Jackson, Wyoming. And here's the question.
Hi, Dave. I'm just wondering if you think that ARK Invest price targets of 4,000 and an increase to 7,000 have influenced the upward price movement of Tesla. Thanks, and I love watching your videos. Big fan.
So do I think the price target that ARK Invest has of like $7,000 by 2024 is affecting or influencing Tesla price right now? To be honest, I don't think ARK influence has that much influence to really impact the stock price more than maybe $10 or $20 or so. And there's a few reasons for this. First, I think a lot of the smart money on Wall Street are not really factoring in 5 or 10 year price targets in terms of whether to buy the stock price right now. Rather, most of the smart money on Wall Street is looking for visibility, meaning they want numbers that they can really count on. Not necessarily 100% guaranteed, but at least 90% or 95% they're going to come true. And for this type of visibility, they can't really go out more than 1 to 3 years, especially for these high growth companies where the future is a little bit more unknown. And so the whole key to the valuation that smart money gives is they're looking out for visibility, meaning 1 to 3 years, the numbers, the revenue numbers, the margin numbers, and the operating profit numbers. They're looking for some concrete numbers where they can put a multiple to. In other words, Tesla maybe can sell 750,000 cars next year at an average sales price of $50,000. You work out the revenue and the gross margin, the operating profit, and you're giving a multiple of maybe 30 or 40 or so. And that's how the big smart money is operating, how they're thinking. And that's what I attribute kind of the breakout move that happened when Tesla broke through the 400s late last year. If you haven't watched that video, please do so. It's called Tesla Breaks 400. And I kind of lay out the whole case where at that time, I thought the big move was that the smart money and the kind of the herd leaders of Wall Street had changed their mind on Tesla and were buying in. And this big money was driving up the price past 400. And it was the mark of the beginning of a sentiment change for the rest of the crowd. And a lot of this smart money or kind of like leaders of the herd are looking forward to the profitability that Model 3 is going to bring, but also to the S&P 500 inclusion. The next question is from Tfragia1. Says, hi Dave, I'm curious what you think about Amazon as a company. In my view, they have long been a disruptor like Tesla and still are. They've also had compelling services and have executed quite well over time. Unfortunately, I didn't buy their stock back in 2000. I could have retired if I did at 200x growth. And now their stock seems to be overvalued, but I'm wondering if you think their growth prospects are still good. Thanks, love your channel. Yeah, one correction. If you would have bought Amazon in 2000, you might have made maybe a 100x gain, not a 200x gain. Still significant though. In my view, I think Jeff Bezos is one of the all-time great leaders in managing execution across hundreds of areas. It's an extremely difficult thing to do, and Bezos is right up there with the best in history. It's kind of interesting because Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, they innovate and execute in different ways. Elon Musk has a more first principles, ideal approach to the future. He envisions the future in the way that he wants it to be, and then he works backward into how can we make that happen. However, Jeff Bezos, rather than being like this future visionary, he kind of takes advantage of the opportunities that are already going to happen, whether or not he's involved. For example, he knew e-commerce was going to be big, so he just kind of got involved. He knew that developer services was going to be big, and so he just kind of stepped into that area. For Jeff Bezos, the idea is not so much what kind of different future do I want to have, rather, how do I get involved and take advantage of what's really going to happen over the next 10 or 20 years? If you haven't done so already, I actually encourage you to do a deep dive on Jeff Bezos and his thinking. I've watched dozens, if not more, of his videos and interviews over time and really tried to understand his thinking and his view on his business. And I think one of Jeff Bezos' most unique advantage is his long-term thinking. This guy really thinks long-term, like 20, 30, even 40 or 50 years out. And when I look at Amazon as a business, I think they still have a lot of growth ahead. In a lot of ways, I think e-commerce is still in the early innings. People are starting to realize just how convenient online shopping is, and you have people that are now ordering 500 to 1,000 times on Amazon on an annual basis. Amazon is doing a great job with their Amazon Web Services. I think it's a growing field as well. And it's not just that, Amazon has a ton of other endeavors as well. They got Twitch TV, they got Amazon Video, they got white labeling, and they even have logistics. Pretty soon they're gonna take on, I think, FedEx and UPS. In other words, like, what isn't Amazon gonna get into in the future? A few risk factors I see with Amazon. The first is Jeff Bezos. He is so integral to Amazon. And if he's out of the picture, I think Amazon is really a different company. Second of all, I think there's some risk with antitrust action from the government, especially if the government changes party in the near future. And then you kind of have this rising company of Shopify, who's actually doing amazing things, providing an alternative shopping experience to Amazon. Amazon is definitely one of the companies that I'm watching, and I have it on my stock watch list. However, as a 10x investor, it doesn't completely meet my criteria. And the reason is, while they have a large market, and while they have a superior product and the ability to defend it, and while they have world-class execution, the thing that I think they're lacking is they don't have a clear and probable path to a 10x valuation within 5 to 10 years. And the main reason is because they're more of a mature company. It's going to be difficult for Amazon to go from $1 trillion to a $10 trillion market cap within 5 to 10 years. However, this is just my own personal investing kind of philosophy and my investing goals. So your investing philosophy and your goals can be completely different. But in any case, I actually encourage for any company that you invest in to make sure that you know how to value the company and you know how to project their future revenues and growth on your own. That's going to give you an advantage to know how to get in and what kind of value you're getting in that company. All right, the next question is from Steve Bin. He says, make a daily Dave show that covers one big or interesting investing news and give your opinion. I believe lots of people would love to hear your views over CNBC on their way to work or after they get home. Great value for everyone and not much work for you. Thanks, Steve, for the great suggestion. Actually, I've been thinking about kind of having a daily show. In a lot of ways, kind of having these prepared remarks takes a lot of time. But if I was just kind of to have a daily show, maybe even have a sidekick where we tackle on one or two or three interesting news items for that day and we do a deeper dive on how to analyze it in a more objective fashion, I think that would actually be an interesting experience and we'd love to try it out, but we'll see how it goes. The last question is from Chung Kenneth. He says, thanks Dave for your insights. I have a question. I am new to stock investing. I've spent lots of hours studying the businesses and I decided to invest long-term. When I decided to invest, the stock was valued at $450. My wife and I thought, let's just wait until it drops a little, but since the price was rising for some time, but the value has been skyrocketed and we kept saying, let's just wait a bit. The price must come down a little bit, right? And the stock is valued at $880 as I'm writing this post after trade hours. I feel so bad for the missed opportunities. Every time I want to invest, I keep thinking the price must come down. I do believe in the company, so I should invest, but I just don't know what I should do. Can you give me some guidance? Thank you. All right, first, I can't give like individual personal financial advice because I don't know your financial situations. Everyone's situation is very different. All I could do is speak to my personal philosophy. And my kind of whole stock philosophy is more based upon valuation. I think one of the key skills in investing is knowing how to value a company. And I think if you're able to do this, you can actually leverage that skill to try to go for the big winners. And in my case, I'm looking for the 10x winners, the ones that can 10x gain within 5 to 10 years. And the key is I'm not just looking for the chance of that company 10x, rather I'm looking for a clear and probable path, meaning it must be likely that this company is going to 10x within 10 years. And in order to come to that conclusion, I really need to understand the company, but I also need to do my own projections of what the stock price I think is going to do over the next few years. And if I'm not able to see a clear and probable path to a 10x valuation within 5 to 10 years, then I'm not going to chase the stock because it doesn't meet my investing criteria. However, if it meets my investing criteria, then I'm chasing the stock until it no longer meets that investing criteria. I know how it feels when you see a stock that you were thinking about investing on and it kind of keeps on going up and you're left chasing the stock. However, I think the big opportunity is not just in one stock, but I think the big opportunity is in the methodology and it's in the skills and it's in the framework to be able to identify 10x winners. Because Amazon and Apple and Tesla, etc., these aren't the only companies that have 10x'd or 100x'd over time. We live in a world of massive change. Technology is disrupting many industries and it's an open field out there. And in a world that's so focused on short-term, on quarterly gains and annual performance, I think there's a great advantage that long-term investors can bring. They could look at the big picture, the bigger trends, and they could use objective analysis to try to find who are going to be the big winners. Anyways, that's kind of the theme of this channel. Like this video, add a comment or question. I read through most of them. And please share this video with your friends. Put it on Facebook, on Reddit, on forums, and email, and get the word out. It's really going to help this channel. Anyways, hope to see you in the next video. Thanks.